Hello everyone, welcome to Change Your Lifestyle podcast. I'm your host, Basma Al-Kakoun. I'm a holistic health coach and a fitness personal trainer. Throughout this podcast, I will be discussing a variety of topics that covers the circle of life. A journey of 172 marathons and 114 half marathon.
I'm a beast, and if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Andy Rooney is happily married with two kids. He was born in Eastern Canada, but has traveled a lot throughout his life. His hobbies include spending time with his kids, speaking, running, reading, movies, golf, traveling, and scuba diving. He has been working for the same company, an offshore drilling contractor, for over 27 years in various positions, and have lived and worked in the UK, Middle East, and Africa. He got to Texas 8 years ago. He has a degree in engineering technology from Robert Gendron University in Aberdeen, Scotland. His marathon running adventure started 22 years ago when he ran the London Marathon. He has now enjoyed participating in 172 marathons, 114 half marathons, and have run a marathon in each of the 50 states. Andy, welcome to my show. It's a great honor to have you here.
Hi, Basma. Thanks for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
I am super excited about today's episode. It's all about running. Let's get started.
Creating a healthy lifestyle has no specific rule to follow. It is completely individual. Please tell us about your lifestyle. How did you create it and how did you maintain it?
About 22 years ago, Basma, I stopped drinking alcohol. And at the time, all my social activities were really based around that. So I had to find something new to fill the void. And I started running. I started jogging, and then I started doing 10Ks, half marathons. And eventually I've led to doing marathons. There's a whole social network that I enjoy associated with the marathoning community. And that's helped keep me motivated. What I found recently, actually, during COVID, I've really struggled. And it took me a while to figure it out. But I'm very task-driven. So I like to have a race booked. And if I have a race booked, then I'll train. But if I wanted to get up and just found that having a goal and a fixed date and a race, that's what I need personally. I need to have something paid for and booked that I've committed to. And that's what gets me out of bed every morning to do my exercise.
So why did you choose running?
Really, when I was a teenager, I used to participate in boxing, and boxing is very aerobic or anaerobic, actually. You do a lot of intense muscle cardiovascular work. And at that time, running was the most basic thing. It was like eating food or breathing. We used to call it road work. And I remember my boxing coach, he used to shout at us and say, come on, do it, do it. Old people run, old people can do it. And it really stuck with me. So once I got a bit older and I wanted to find something to do, I kind of went back to running, and I found a joy in it. It lets me think about what's going on in my life, and it gives me time to reflect. It also is really good for my body, breathing, and for my cardiovascular system. But it's not a heavy load like some really intense weightlifting. It's quite a gentle sport. But what's really kept me hooked on it, like I said earlier, is the social aspect, because I found a lot of other people who'd like to run. So I'm more interested, I think, now in the social aspects of exercising and running than I am about the actual practical side of the exercise.
Oh, wow. I love socializing, especially exercising.
That's perfect for me.
Running changes our body and our mind at the same time.
Because while running, especially outdoors, why am I being hard on myself?
Why don't I just enjoy the view?
So how do you get the motivation to keep going?
There's a target to get to the finish. And for me, that's always the goal, to get to the finish. So I never set a run on time. I always set it on a physical distance. So I said before, I'm really task focused. So I always focus on the task at hand. But there's a lot of things you can do that I've learned myself. And it may not work for everybody. But one thing you can do is totally lie to yourself. Like sometimes when I'm running, I feel like stopping and walking. And I'll say, hey, you know what? If I just run to that next tree, then I'll walk. And by the time I get to that tree, I don't feel like walking. And it's totally lying to myself. And I'm sure I know deep down that I'm lying, but somehow it works. It's like a small psychological game. Some other things that I've done, it's really, I call myself a recreational runner. I run for fun. I don't run for time. I'm not super, super fast. I'm quite slow. But there's always someone who's in that same group as me, and I'll pick somebody at random, and that's my target. So if they keep running, I'll keep running because I don't want my target to get away from me. So it's really self-motivation. I mean, it's not being competitive necessarily. It's really just trying to push myself and pick a peer that I can compare myself with and keep up with them. So again, it's kind of the social aspect. That's another thing I do to keep myself going. There's a lot of tricks you can play in your mind, especially around mathematics. Like I'm always playing with numbers. Like when you're running marathons, there's so many different numbers. So like my favorite part of the race is when I hit 16 miles. And that's because you get down to single digits. Now it might be 9.99 miles, but it's still 9 miles. It's single digits. So things like that, when you start thinking about it and playing with the numbers, sometimes you actually get confused and it takes a long time to get it worked out in your mind, but the miles just go by when that happens. So there's a lot of different things you can do to keep your mind occupied. One thing I personally would never do is think about the actual process of running. If I ever start to think about the process, like my form and how my feet are landing, if I start thinking about that, it causes me to get very tired and I just don't like doing it. But in saying that, there's a trick, Pasma, I'd like to share with you. I call it a body check. So what I do is if I'm getting tired and I feel like giving up, I'll actually subconsciously do a little check on my whole body. And I'll say, okay, my feet good? Is my breathing good? Is my heart rate good? My arm's good? Is everything good? The answer is always yes. Then I can keep going, because sometimes you get worried about something that's not there. And just doing that little check, it just calms me down and makes me realize, hey, everything's going fine. The other thing that I found doing marathons particularly is it's not really good to focus on how much further you have left to go. It's always better to think about how much you've done. And it's little things like that. You know, when you're in a race, you just have to suddenly say to yourself, look, I'm happy where I am right now. Don't worry about 5 miles later. Don't worry about the finish. Just think about it. Right now where I am, I'm happy. And that keeps me going.
Wow, that's really a great tip. Thank you for sharing that. How did you get interested in running marathons? It's 26 miles, 42 kilometers. Why marathons?
It's kind of like, why do people climb Everest? Or why do people keep pushing for the limit? You know, when I first started running, I started doing shorter races and then slowly I built up. But a marathon just seemed like so incredible. Like it was just something I never even could imagine really at the beginning. But slowly, slowly, as I started to build up some miles on my legs, I started to really look at it like as a huge achievement. And I thought, if I can do that, it's going to change my life. So I really focused on it. And actually, from when I first decided to do a marathon, it was kind of crazy, but I signed up for a marathon on 31st of December. It was a New Year's Eve resolution for the next year. And the marathon was in April. So I only had a few months to get ready for my first race. And I really wasn't ready, to be honest with you, but I managed to get around and do it. And that, after that, I was really hooked. I saw a lady on my third marathon. I saw a lady who had a shirt on. It was 100 Marathon Runners Club. And it just blew my mind. And that really got stuck in my mind. And I thought about that a lot. And I eventually decided I want to be in that club. And that kept me going for many, many years. It took me 18 years, I think, to get to 100 marathons. But you don't know what you're going to find until you get out there and try it. But once you get out there and try it, you'll find stuff that'll just stick with you and it'll motivate you. For me, it was a lady who I don't even know her name, but she was wearing a t-shirt that I read. And that kept me going for a long time. But Bas, I feel like adding, when I came to the U.S. 8 years ago, I had a paradigm shift. Totally, the way I looked at running changed completely. And it was because of the people I met. I met people like Larry Macon, who's done over 1,200 marathons. Steve Boone, who's done about 800 marathons. There's a number of, I can't even list all the great guys I've met, but they're so inspirational. And it made me realize that you could push your body and do a lot more. So I went from doing probably an average of 4 or 5 marathons a year to doing about 20 a year once I came to the U.S., just because people show me that you can do it. So I tried it and it turns out I can do it. And I've really changed the way I look at running. I changed the way I look at the achievement for me personally. You know, now that I've done quite a lot, I still feel a sense of achievement because I'm still going out and I'm doing something. I'm physically getting there. I'm doing it and I'm making it happen. Every time I get a medal, it feels like an achievement. The hardest part I always say is getting to the start line. You know, getting up out of bed early in the morning getting to the start line. Running is fun. I enjoy the running part. But getting there, getting up, signing up, all the logistics, showing up in time to start the race, that's what I find harder nowadays, just because there's so much going on in life with my kids and work and things like that. So once I start running, it's just really, really fun. Everything just settles down. You're there. You know, you don't want to be anywhere else for the next 5 or 6 hours. That's what you're going to be doing. It's really a great way to focus your mind, think about things, and just enjoy life, right? Just suck it all in and enjoy it. It's really fun.
You are a great inspiration. When I first met you, I heard you running. That is fascinating.
You encouraged me since I started running, and I really enjoy it.
Tell me about your first ever marathon.
Were you worried about the distance?
26 miles.
The first marathon I did was in 1998. It was the London Marathon. So the London Marathon is a humongous, like a huge, huge race. I think there was probably close to 30,000 runners that did it the year I did it. I really wasn't prepared. I didn't know what to expect. I almost got to this point where I shut down my brain. I couldn't really think about it because I didn't know what to expect. I was probably worried, you know, that I wouldn't finish it. I think that's my main concern. It wasn't about getting hurt or anything like that. It was just that I would somehow embarrass myself by not finishing. But when you get there, there's such a great atmosphere. There's so many people and everybody's in the same boat. Everybody's a little bit nervous, or there's almost a tension in the air. But when the gun goes and everyone starts running, you just forget about it. And the crowds right along the course, that's one thing I'll always remember. It wasn't really the big sightseeing areas of London that I remember. It's kind of the poor areas where the poor people who lived in that area all came out in crowds and cheered us on. They were giving us high fives and they had signs, and there's little kids with their, you know, whole families there cheering us on. It was really, really empowering, encouraging. It was just a fantastic experience. I won't say the whole thing was a great experience. I do remember having some aches and pains, and there's quite a long section of the London Marathon where you run on cobblestones. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's bricks almost on a road made of bricks, quite undulating. So they put a bit of carpet down over part of the bricks, but it's not quite wide enough for all the runners. So if you wander off the carpet, you know, you can very easily twist an ankle or something. It is physically demanding. Doing a marathon, you go through some physiological demands that are quite hard. Like a half marathon is fun. A lot of my running friends say a half marathon is half the distance, twice the fun, because you don't go through quite so many physiological challenges like chafing and energy stores. And the way that it affects your body is quite different. The marathon is quite demanding. So you really have to train properly. I want to emphasize that you got to train and do mileage and know your body, how your body can respond to the challenge. And the best way to do that, I found, is do 5Ks, then 10Ks, then do half marathons. Once you're really good at the half, then unfortunately, you have to make a big jump, go from the half to the full. But that's what I'd recommend. And I've really got nothing but good memories of my first marathon. But I'm sure at the time, that's one thing I should say, honestly, having run a lot of races, as soon as you cross the finish line, you kind of forget all the bad stuff. Yeah. And you only remember the good stuff. Maybe not when you cross the finish line, actually. It might be like maybe a week later. You cross the finish line and then you go, wow, that was pretty rough. A week later, all you can remember is the good things. So, actually, I've heard people say that it's almost like childbirth. People cross the finish line, they say, never again. I'm never doing it again. But then once they've had a bit of time to think about it, think, maybe another kid would be nice, you know? So it's kind of similar. I don't know myself, because obviously I've never been through that, but I know you have fairly recently, Basma.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I was going to say the same. So, Andy, I want to say this again. You have done 172 marathons and 117 half marathons. That's really impressive. How did you do it? I'm really curious to know.
Honestly, I feel like I'm not done yet. You know, I don't feel like I want to say, hey, I put my stall up, here's what I've achieved, because I feel like I'm still on the journey. And every single race, it sounds like crazy numbers, really. And I never would have thought I would get to those numbers when I first started. Because like I said, my whole attitude towards the number of races changed dramatically when I came to the U.S. and met some crazy people who do things differently. And I started to try it, and I really liked it. It's really hard to describe, Basma, but one thing for me is I'm getting old, right? I turned 50 this year, but every time I do a race, I still feel like I'm holding on to my youth a little bit. I feel like I've got energy. I feel like I've still got something to contribute. It's just something that I take away from it. It's almost like a check where I'm setting a test. Here's the test, Andy. When I pass the test, I can go, okay, great. I'm still alive. I'm still here. I'm still doing things, right? Eventually, I guess I'll get to a point where I can pass the test. I'll have to deal with that when I get to it, but I'm not there yet. I'm really glad you asked that question, Pasma, because that's something I should have mentioned earlier. One of the benefits of marathon running is, for me, has been travel, because I've gone to places I never would have gone to if it hadn't been for a race, right? I look on my calendar, there's a race available on a certain date. And at one time in my life, I would travel 200-300 miles. I would travel a couple of thousand miles to go do a race. It's not just going to the place, right? Even though there are places I never would have gone to in a million years if it hadn't been for marathon running. The other thing is, when you get to the place, you go to places you never would go because you're running around on foot for 26.2 miles. So when you're running around, you see so many different views and sights of the city. I love it. You know, like you see parts that you would, no tourist would go to, but it's a cool place and you get to get a more of a feel for the place and the people. I could tell you so many different stories, but one I'll tell you is I went to do a marathon in Amman in Jordan. Oh my goodness. I had no idea. I didn't look it up. I didn't have any clue what Amman was like. All I knew was the race was called the Dead Sea Marathon. And they said, you run from the high point down into the lowest point on Earth. And I was like, oh, that sounds pretty cool, right? So I did it. But Amman itself is so beautiful. It's got five hills. They call it like Rome of the Arab world. So much historical monuments there. The food is so fantastic. The people are fantastic. And the Dead Sea, it was just unbelievable. Then I went to Petra. I saw the ruins at Petra. I went to Wadi Rum, which is a red desert. You know, the whole city... The whole city of Amman was awesome. The whole country of Jordan was one of my favorite places I've ever been to in my entire life. And I only went there because of a marathon, you know. It's that type of thing times 172. Right? I've been to 172 places I probably might not have gone to if it hadn't been for running. Like I've run one marathon in each of the 50 states now. And I've been to so many different states. I've seen so many different things, but I've met so many different people. And I think the hard thing to get your head around is the fun ones aren't necessarily New York or Hawaii. Sometimes it's like the Delawares or the Maryland, where you go to these places that you aren't expecting anything and you just get blown away. And there's so many beautiful aspects of this country. I'm really glad that I've got out and seen a little bit of it by doing my racing. You know,
I love that. So you mentioned that you started running 22 years ago. Were you traveling to do marathons?
Well, that's a good question, Basma. And actually, that's a question I get asked all the time. It's actually a very difficult one to answer. And I'd probably give a different answer on every day of the week, depends how I'm feeling. One thing I would say, and I kind of touched on a little bit earlier, when I first started running, the attractive races are all the big races, like London, Chicago, Berlin. Those are the things that got me really excited. But now I've done a whole bunch of races. The ones I actually love the most are very small places where you're running maybe totally on your own for 10, 15 miles without seeing anybody. You go down trails through the countryside. I would say... the one that sticks up my mind, and it was because it was my 50th state, was in a place called Salisbury. It was in Maryland. The second half of that course was around, it was like wheat fields and rivers and trees. And I was mostly predominantly on my own. I could see some other runners in the distance and there's some runners behind me, but it was so peaceful. It felt like you're so close to nature and just hearing the wind blow and seeing the wheat move, watching the trees sway back and forth, you know, maybe an eagle might fly over. It was just absolutely incredible. And I felt so close to nature and it just absolutely blew my mind. And I wasn't expecting it. I really didn't know anything about that little town, but that's one that sticks my mind. And I'll just say one more. One other one that sticks my mind was speaking about a race. So I ran up next to them and I asked them for information. And it was a race called it's at Marshall University. And I don't know if you know the story about Marshall University, but they had a plane crash. And the whole football team and all the staff and a lot of the alumni, almost everybody who supported the football team was killed in a plane crash in the 60s or 70s. And there's a movie out called We Are Marshall with Matthew McConaughey. And that's all about how they rebuilt and they created the football team again and brought the community around. But it's a reasonably fairly small place compared to the big cities. But they were absolutely devastated by this. So they have a marathon every year on the same weekend, they have an anniversary of the plane crash. And we start and finish in the football field. So when you finish the marathon, you enter the football field and they throw a football to you. You catch it. You run down the whole length of the football field and cross the finish line. So it was pretty amazing just because of the different features about that race. Another time with the Marshall University history, the pretty cool aspect of running on a football field and catching a football. It just made it particularly special for me. So that, and the fact that I'd heard about it through word of mouth on a race, that just adds to the image that I've got in my mind about that race. But sorry, Pastor, I could keep talking for a long, long time. Those are my two I'll mention as my favorite race.
I always enjoy listening to your stories. It's a great inspiration. So do you have any running heroes or someone who always encouraging?
Yeah, I definitely have. I would say one that sticks my mind is my boxing coach. No matter what I used to do when I ran, he would always encourage me to do more. When I worked out, he would encourage me to do more. And one thing he drilled into me was when you get tired, that's when you have to work hard. And I think that's really helped me a lot during my running career, especially when I have big hills, which I hate. But if you have big hills or you have a particularly tough and keep putting energy out. So he wasn't necessarily a runner, but he really inspired me and coached me. As far as runners go, I would say the runner that I could think of off the top of my head is a guy called Steve Boone. Steve lives in Houston. He's one of the founding members of the 50 States Marathon Runners Club. So Steve has done 50 states many, many times. He travels all around the country. He's encouraged me in so many different occasions when I've been running. I remember one race I did, it was his own race. Him and his wife put it on every year on the 1st of January. In Kingwood. I did his race and I hurt my foot. It was on the first loop, so they have a four-loop course. I actually thought for the first time in my life, I'm going to have to give up and not finish the race. But Steve came up beside me. I didn't really know him well at that time. And that shows that how great a person he is. He didn't even really know me. He walked up next to me and he said, "Come on, are you okay?" I said, "I hurt my foot." And he said, "Don't worry about it, man. Just take your time." He said, "Waddle like me." And then he started waddling away because he runs like he waddles when he ran. And it just made me laugh. And that got me going again. And I somehow finished the race. But things like that, when you get a very experienced runner who takes interest in you and passes on advice, it's so powerful. And that really had a profound impact on me. And it's kept me going. And it's encouraged me to do more races. Yeah, basketball, one thing I want to add, quite honestly, some of the biggest motivation that I've had personally are people who've said negative things. And I think back to when I told some of my work colleagues I was going to do the London Marathon. And one of them said really loud in front of a group of people, they said, "You'll never do a marathon." And I still go back to that moment. That still motivates me to this day. So that was 22 years ago. I don't recommend people are negative, but I just think it's up to us how we react to that, you know, how we use it. And I've actually found great, you know, I am a heavy set runner and people make comments quite regularly. I don't get upset about it, but I do think about it from time to time. And sometimes it does give me a little bit of boost, almost like I'll show them I can do it motivation. And that really works for me. I think everybody has to find their own motivation, their own source of motivation. It's probably different for all of us. But for me, I really think sometimes the negative comments have motivated me just as much, if not more, you know, than the positive feedback I've got from people, just because I want to prove people wrong.
Do I agree, negative people always be around, it's our duty to find the motivation. Now we have been talking about motivation and inspiration for running, but I really want to know, how do you train for a marathon? Do you have a specific strategy?
I can say that if you're trying to do 20 marathons a year, there are very few advices. There's very few training plans out there for that type of situation. I have told people in the past that I won't run more than 10 miles unless I get a t-shirt and a medal. So I don't like doing long training runs. Like I mentioned a bit earlier, during COVID-19, I really have struggled because I haven't had races booked. I don't really like to go out and run around for fun with no end goal in mind. And I kind of forgot that a little bit. And COVID's reminded me, I got to have something booked. That's what motivates me. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning. So having races booked, I like to race regularly. If I take a break, what I'll do is I'll start booking 5Ks and then I'll start building my mileage up a little bit during the week. Mostly I run 2-3 miles, maybe 4 miles on a training run during the week. And then I'll book a 5K or a 10K. And then I'll start building up to half marathons. That's why I've got so many half marathons, because I really book them as training runs for my marathons. And then once I've done one or two half marathons, I feel pretty good. Then I'll sign up for a marathon. So that's my training program. It's not traditional. And if you're going to want to be really fast and break records and, you know, be winning age group awards, you wouldn't follow that particular training program. But my training program is to get it round and get finished training program, and it works for me.
Whoa, that is a great strategy. I love that. What I love the most that it is so much fun being part of the group. It is a great encouragement to keep going towards the finish line. I personally got bored easily. Now you've changed my perspective. Can you give us more advices for new runners?
My first advice would be sign up and make a plan. Because if you don't make a plan and sign up, you probably will not do it. I also would say, just try and see what you can do. Build up, do a 5K, like I said, then do a 10K, then do a half marathon. There are a few races in between a half and a full, which you could do. Like there's a 30Ks. They're very rare, but you can find those type of races. If you can do that, that's good. If not, once you get comfortable doing a half marathon, sign up for a full marathon. If you don't sign up, you won't do it. So the hardest part's getting to the start. I really believe if you commit to it, you'll start exercise routines because you've got a goal, right? And you've got a deadline that's coming. If you start with a different attitude where you want to become perfect before you sign up, you'll probably never get there. Nobody's perfect. No matter how much you do, you'll always feel like you can do more. My recommendation is book a date, put it down on paper, sign up for it, put some money on the line. That'll get you motivated and that'll get you out the door and you'll do it.
I do agree. If you don't pay for it, you won't go for it.
Yeah, true, true.
Doing that number of marathons need a lot of time. How does your family feel about it when you have to spend a couple of days away?
Well, I can say, I'm quite proud to say my daughter, when she was 9 years old, she ran a half marathon. So I was quite proud of her. She's actually super, super fast. She's got a totally different body type than me, or maybe her diet's a lot better. I don't know, but she's super fit. Her main sport is gymnastics, but she runs extremely fast. We actually did a 5K in El Campo, Texas, and she finished first overall female. She wasn't just first kid, she was the first overall female. So she is pretty awesome. I don't think she's doing it because I do it. I think she enjoys it for her own reasons. My family have been supportive for sure, but there have been times, especially when I was trying to get the 50 states done, where it put a lot of stress on our family because, you know, most weekends I was traveling and a lot of things that we do during the week, we're so busy, we kind of need the time on the weekend to catch up and be a family. I was missing a lot of that for several years. Got some nice trips because anytime I went to do a nice, particularly a nice destination, it was my way of trying to smooth things over. Once a year, we'd pick a nice family trip where I did a marathon. Like, started with San Diego, then I did Kona, Hawaii. I did Juneau, Alaska, Portland, Oregon. You know, anytime we had a summer break, I would try and fit a marathon in. So my family got to associate my running with some very nice holidays.
Wow, that is awesome. I love that. So do you have any other hobbies or interests?
Yeah, thanks for asking that, Basma. I do have one other hobby, which I am proud to say that's how I met you. My other hobby is Toastmasters. I started Toastmasters about 2.5 years ago, a little bit before you joined. And I've really enjoyed it for a lot of the same reasons as I like running. And I think one thing I didn't mention earlier is doing something regularly has such a powerful impact. If you run every couple of days, you're going to see improvements. The running's going to become so much easier. You're going to feel so much better and confident about yourself. It's the exact same with Toastmasters. If you get up and speak every week, it becomes less of a challenge. You know, you're more confident, comfortable. You start focusing and picking better words, doing a better job because you've built that foundation and you're now building on the foundation. So running and talking are not exactly the same, but there is some overlap. You know, the social aspect is very, very similar. I love so many people that I've met at Toastmasters, and so many people have encouraged me. And sometimes, just like I said, when I'm running, I'll see someone that I'll put as a target and I'll say, I want to keep up with them. The same thing happens at Toastmasters. I'll see someone do a good presentation and I'll say, hey, okay, next week I'm going to do something just as good as that and show them I'm just as good. So there's a little bit of competitiveness, maybe. Maybe I call it motivation, not so much competitiveness, but we motivate each other. It's very, really, really good hobby. The main reason I actually started was because of my running. I thought, man, I'd like to start doing pastor party talks. And, you know, like they have expos where they have a lot of people. I thought, I'd like to get up at these expos and give a talk about running. But then I thought, well, I really don't know how to talk. So I joined Toastmasters to really learn how I could get up and give a good speech about running.
I love Toastmasters and I love running. That's a great analogy. Both are hard, but they are not impossible. It's all about practicing and consistency. Andy, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you, your positive energy and inspiration.
Thank you everyone for listening to my podcast today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to listen to my future episodes, please hit subscribe.